It does. Sweet stuff and mustaches do not mix. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all stand. Starting in verse 15. I started that recording right when I said, sweet stuff and mustaches don't mix. So that's, yeah, I record it because I keep wanting to put them on the website, but
so
I...
So they can hear what I say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I don't know if it reaches that far though. It's the recording of the teaching. So that, like, yeah. That's funny. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful to be gathered together in your name and for the promises that we have that when we are gathered in your name, that you are there, you are here in our presence, and we are meeting with you face to face. You are speaking to us. As we draw near to you, you are drawing near to us. So fill us with your spirit, we pray. Fall afresh on us. We need more of you in our lives, more of you moving and active in our hearts. We pray that we'd be able to understand what you have for us this morning, that it would apply to our lives, and that we would grow deeper in it as we ponder it and as we meditate on it throughout the week and throughout weeks to come as well. We love you so much, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Have a seat, y'all. So today we're finishing up our spiritual gifts workshop. Yes, this is our part three in the series, looking at spiritual gifts the way that we're supposed to, as things that we can actually relate to and hopefully start to see in different areas of our lives, whether it's people having the gifts and displaying them, or whether it's us having the gifts and then taking steps of faith to allow God to use that in our lives. Now remember, the meaning of spiritual gifts comes from the Greek word charisma. Do you guys remember? Yes? Charisma. Gotta dig deep for that. Or you can, you know, say charisma. Charisma. No, not charisma. You gotta get that. It's really deep. There it is. Charisma. And what these are supernatural abilities that God has given believers through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving. Now, we need to remember that that is not serving the church, but it's serving everyone, serving God, serving the church, and serving those who are not yet saved, so that these spiritual gifts can be used to bring people to Christ. And so far, we've looked at 9 gifts so far, and I'll just refresh your memory really quick. First, we looked at the word of wisdom, which is the ability to give really good godly advice, the word of knowledge, the ability to know something about someone that you couldn't have possibly known apart from them. Prophecy is a direct message from God into a specific situation. Discernment of spirits is knowing if what someone says is really of God or if it's of something else, whether it be from evil or from that person's flesh or just of that person's like ignorance, whatever it might be. Or we looked at faith, to trust God for huge things, even things that seem impossible from a, you know, scientific or natural perspective, but to believe that God can do these things. And then under faith, you also have the gift of healings, which is the ability to give or to receive for yourself healings from God. And then there's also miracles, which is the ability to believe that God is able and that he can and will and does do things that are against nature through Christians. And then we looked at the gift of tongues, which is a private praise language to God, and that for the gift of tongues to be used in public in a church, it has to be interpreted. And all that is worked together by the Holy Spirit. He leads them to speak a specific tongue, and someone has the gift of interpretation, and they know what it means, and then they're able to bring it into human understanding so that people can agree with it and say kind of, you know, the yes and amen, I agree, I totally echo that, and praise the Lord as they do it. Now, today, we're looking more, not so much at the spiritually beneficial gifts, but now at the practically beneficial gifts, or almost the physically beneficial gifts. So these are the gifts that serve the people of the church more on a physical side of things. And these are not less important than the spiritual gifts that we've looked at so far, and they're not more important either. They're equally as important. If we just focused on the spiritual aspects of a ministry, we would have some really nasty bathrooms. That's why we do youth cleanup. But no, seriously, if we neglected the things of this world, the physical things, as Christians, and only focused on the spiritual, we'd have really bad BO, for one thing. We'd never shower and stink. But that's not really a spiritual gift, smelling good and being clean. But everything in churches would be falling apart because we wouldn't care about it. We wouldn't have any pride in the buildings or in the bodies that God has given us, the time that God has given us. So these are the things that really keep the ministry running, that keep the electricity bill going, that keep water accessible at the building. Without these gifts that we're going to look at today, everything would be chaotic in the church. Everything would be falling apart. People wouldn't know where to find what, how to do what, when to do what. So these gifts are given by God to make sure that ministries are also successful on the physical side of things, just as they are successful on the spiritual side of things. So here's the four gifts that we're going to be looking at today. And we're going to probably breeze through them because they're not hard to grasp with your mind like the other ones were. So we're going to look at first the gift of apostleship, or you could just write apostle. Second, teacher, the gift of teaching. Three, helps. And then third, administration. So if you're taking notes, that's how we're going to break this teaching down today, looking at apostles, teachers, helps, and administrations. So let's get started looking at apostles. So what an apostle is the apostles are early Christians who laid the foundation of the church. So right after Jesus died and being able to put your faith in Jesus for the resurrection of life, for eternity, for redemption from your sins, once that became a possibility, then early Christians came on the scene who had to lay the foundation of the Christian church. Because before that, there were just temples that were designed for people to sacrifice, whether it was an animal, well, obviously an animal, or, you know, a lamb or a bird, sacrifice it so that they could have access to God there in the temple. But now, when Jesus died and resurrected, everything changed to where people could meet in the backside of an alley and worship God and meet with him face to face anytime, whenever they wanted. So the definition of the church transformed. So these are men chosen by Jesus who had specific authority to set Christian churches, to set the standard of Christian churches, when Christian churches at that point had never been set. Not that they hadn't been set in that area, but that they had never, ever, ever been set. And the New Testament had not even been written yet. And some of these men also had the authority to declare the standards of God. And these are the men who wrote the New Testament. So we have the guys who wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're declaring standards of God. Then we also have Paul, who wrote so many letters. We have Timothy, who built churches with Paul. And all of these guys are apostles. We have John as well, who wrote Revelation and revealed all of that to us. And a lot of people think that to be an apostle, that you had to have like one-on-one time with Jesus, and that seeing him face to face and like talking with him directly, physically, made you an apostle and meant you had to like go do stuff because you're an apostle. But no, that's not what an apostle is. It's not all that an apostle is. Those guys were apostles, but there's more to that. Paul is also an apostle who never physically saw Jesus face to face. He had the vision, the bright light of Jesus on the road to Damascus, but he never physically saw the body of Jesus. And then Timothy is also an apostle, and he never saw Jesus. And Barnabas is an apostle. The list, you know, it kind of goes on and on. But this gift no longer exists today. And there's two reasons why. One, because the church has already been set by these guys. They've already set the standard of what the church is and had that specific authority from Jesus. And, you know, the second reason is the standards, they've been written. We have them in the Bible. So now, if we want to go to an area that has never experienced the church, that has never experienced a group of Christians gathering together to meet with God, we don't, like, make up something on the spot and have to seek Jesus for standards that we have never witnessed with our own eyes. Now we just read the Bible and we see what Jesus would want in that specific place. So that's the gift of apostleship. It's not it doesn't apply to us. It's a big deal, of course, and it matters a lot. But to us today, we're not going to have the gift of apostleship because the standards have already been laid. The foundation is already set. But our second point that we're looking at, the gift of teaching, is a very active gift today. And the gift of teaching is the ability to explain the Word of God in an understandable way. Bam! Mind blown. I know, right? Wow. Yeah, Eden. Yes.
Oh, always said that I had a gift of
teaching. Mm-hmm. I believe it. But let me explain it. Let me explain it a little bit further. So if you've ever looked at a verse, and I feel like this happens to everybody. Like, you looked at a verse, read it on your own time, and spent some time looking at it, and you just could not understand that verse. Then you go to church and someone teaches on it and they bring out like all this stuff and they teach for like 30 minutes on that one verse that you couldn't understand at all. And you're like, oh my goodness, I've never even noticed all that stuff. At that moment, you experience the gift of teaching. Whoever that was had the gift of teaching, and that's what you experience. Practically, someone with the gift of teaching, they're going to be really, really good at learning the Bible. So if you have the gift of teaching, you're going to be good at reading the Bible and learning it. Like, seeing what's on the page, understanding it, and then grasping it in your mind as well. But notice, it doesn't mean that it's easy for them. So if you say, oh man, learning the Bible is really hard for me, but I can do it, it's possible for me, I'm good at it, but it's hard, then you could still have the gift of teaching. You're just going to have to be a little more disciplined. Maybe you're going to have to read books on the side, or you're going to have to listen to other teachers and see how they teach on it as well. And Someone with the gift of teaching is also going to be really good at explaining things, just in a way that people can understand and grasp with their minds. Some people are just not good at explaining stuff, which it's not a bad thing. They just probably don't have the gift of teaching. They're not good at breaking something down into a way that you can understand it and then like move on further with it as well. So you have to notice, though, that this gift is not the gift of being able to move a crowd. It's not the gift of putting on a show or being a comfortable, exciting, motivating public speaker. This is not that gift. This is just the gift of explaining the Bible in a clear and understandable way. But God is able to, when someone is uncomfortable speaking in front of people and afraid to step out of their comfort zone in that way and, you know, get in front of people and explain the Bible to them, if they have the gift of teaching, God is able to work through them and do incredible things that's way beyond what they could have ever done on their own. And it's really incredible. It's like when the gift of teaching is put to work, especially in someone that isn't really good at moving a crowd or staying in front of a crowd and like isn't comfortable with that, but they're still really good at teaching clearly and understandably. It's really cool. It's a really cool thing to see that God can do. And this is a gift that someone who has it can choose to grow in it. So like we looked at earlier, some gifts that we can choose to grow in, like the gift of wisdom, reading Proverbs and reading Gospels as well. We can grow in the gift of teaching if we have it. By, you know, learning the Bible more, so reading it more, reading books about the Bible, watching movies and documentaries about the Bible, listening to people talk about the Bible, teach about the Bible, podcast about the Bible. But then also a way to grow in teaching is simply by teaching more and more. I think someone with the gift of teaching, the quickest way to improve that gift that God has given you is to do it, to step out in faith and start teaching people the Bible. So I encourage you guys, if you think you have the gift of teaching, like you said, Eden, start doing it young. Start doing it, don't think that because you're youthful that you have to wait until you're able to teach people the doctrine of Scripture or the Bible. If you start young, that gift is going to develop further and further. So as you grow, that gift of teaching is going to grow with you. And that's really valuable. So I encourage you guys, if you think you have this gift, start cultivating it. Start, you know, growing it, putting it to practice, learning the Bible well, and then explaining it to people as much as you can. Even if it's three-year-olds, and that's a tough crowd. I used to teach three-year-olds, and they're tough. They will tear you apart quicker than they destruct Legos. But it's really good because I think if you can teach three-year-olds a complex aspect of Scripture, so teaching three-year-olds, you know, like when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him and God spoke at the same time, if you can get three-year-olds to grasp that situation happening, then you can get anybody to. Like, obviously, you can't talk to other people like, and then Jesus went under the water, and while he was under, but if you can explain something clearly to three-year-olds, then you have the ability, the knowledge to explain it clearly and understandably to anybody. Yeah, that's cool. I think it's cool. Okay, third gift we're going to look at is the gift of helps. And helps is the desire to care for the needs of others. This is a really cool gift. It's really, really practical. And it's, I was going to say it's pretty common, but I'm not sure how common it really is. But it's something that people can choose to grow in and that I think people should choose, as we'll look further. Someone with this gift of helps, they're the type of people that when you spill your hot cocoa on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, they like get up in the split of a second and they already have paper towel. It's like they live with paper towel in their backpack or like like in their pocket or something. They just have like a paper towel pocket and they're like, got it. And they're already cleaning it up, already throwing it away. And like you say thanks and they're like, oh, no big deal. Don't even worry about it. I don't, no sweat. I love cleaning up stuff. And it's like, whoa, that's crazy. Or they'll see that you're having a bad day and naturally they'll be a good friend to you, the type of friend that you need on that bad day. Maybe they'll just sit next to you and listen to you, whatever you're going through, or they'll encourage you in the way that you need to be encouraged. They see that you're having a hard time, and they naturally help you through that. Notice that it's not just meeting physical needs, the gift of helps, but it's also meeting emotional needs, spiritual needs, and being aware of where people are at, what people are doing. You'll know that you have this gift of helps if you have the natural desire to help people. So you walk into a room and people are stacking chairs, and you're like, oh, I'm going to stack chairs too. Like naturally, it just clicks in. Like a lot of people, they have to be like, oh, as a Christian, I should die to my flesh and help people stack these chairs, even though I don't really want to. I don't really want to go to youth cleanup, but I'm going to because, you know, serving is something that we're called to do, something I need to grow in as well. And then, like, you'll also notice if you have this gift, you'll have a huge awareness of your surroundings. So almost like an attention to detail, but not quite. So maybe you'll see a mess and you'll clean it up. And you saw that mess and no one else even noticed it. Or you'll see someone's having a bad day and you notice it. And then you help them through it, that they're having a hard time. Or you'll be really compassionate. And that's an active concern for people. So you see people having a hard time, but you activate, you do some action, you do something about it to help them. And then you'll also be really good at empathy. And empathy is the ability to understand, but also share the feelings of people. So to be able to see what people are feeling and then feel that as well, and then also do something about it. And it's very natural for you. All of this is natural if you have the gift of helps. Yes, Eden. Yeah, it is very similar.
Because one has the gift of servant, and mm-hmm. One time in high school, I don't know if you knew this, they were doing this test.
Yeah, I remember that. Around. Uh-huh. Yeah. So one time in the high school group, they put, like, in the corner of the room, like, these crumbs of a graham cracker. And they intentionally, I think it was at the edge, they intentionally did it to see if anybody would clean it up. And then they were like, oh, that person probably has the gift of serving. And it was Caitlin. It was pretty.
She was really surprised
when she was calling. I know, yeah, it was funny. But yeah, that would be, I think in Romans chapter 12, they call that the gift of serving. And the gift of helps is similar, but helps goes a step further in that it also meets the emotional needs of people. So someone with the gift of helps is going to be really good at like encouraging a Bible teacher or a missionary. So some people, they naturally like really want to write missionaries letters and like encourage them and pray for them. Other people, that's not natural. They have to like think to do that, and they wouldn't have thought about it on them by themselves. So that's someone with the gift of helps. It's also emotional, but also physical as well. Last but not least, last gift that we're going to look at in the spiritual gift workshop is administrations. And it sounds really boring, but it's not. It kind of is a boring gift, but it's a good gift. It's still really valuable. Like Paul says, even the feet are super valuable. The armpits, we need armpits because we need to be able to sweat. They're important. We need them. So administrations, this gift is the ability to direct the people of the church. So it's the ability to plan events and to organize events and to put people in the places they need to be for that event to go well, and the ability to direct and lead people of the church. Someone with this gift is going to be really good with people. So they're going to be patient. They're going to be good at communicating, good at telling people what is demanded of them. So like youth cleanup, someone with the gift of administration is going to say, hey, meet downstairs at 12:20. We're going to be right there. And then I'm going to, you know, some of you are going to do this. Some of you are going to do that. And then we're going to break apart as a team and we're going to tackle youth cleanup. And then someone else who has the gift of administrations is the one who put that youth cleanup month schedule, like how we do it, like 3 times a year or 2 times a year. That's the whoever put that schedule together has the gift of administration. But they're also going to be gracious. So we think of like managers today and bosses at a workplace, or even like a teacher at school that's really like chop chop and like wants you to do what you do, and when you don't, they get like mad and kind of yell and get upset and stuff. Someone with the gift of administrations is not going to be like that. They're not going to like be yelling at people in the church, you're late, what are you doing, don't you know you're serving God? No, that's not going to be someone with the gift of administration. That's going to be someone with, I don't know, I don't know what that is, but that's not the gift of administration. And they're going to be really good at organizing things. This is a gift that I have to work at. I don't think I naturally have the gift. Instead, I have to like take half of my day out of my time to make calendars and schedules and set deadlines and stuff like that. But some people naturally, like you give them numbers and they're like, oh, let's organize them. Or you give them like a list and they're like, ooh, alphabetization. I'm not about that. But some people are. Some people, you tell them about an event or about something that's happening and they write it in their daily planner. And I've never owned a daily planner. I don't even know what that, like, I know what it is. But someone with the gift of administration, they're going to be just generally, naturally good at organizing things, good at setting things up, putting things in place, keeping things rolling. Yes.
A day timer?
A day timer? What's that? I think my dad has a little booklet? Yeah. Like that, and it has like, usually they have like a little bit of a schedule too. Yeah, I've never, do any of you do that? Day plan, like a little day planner? You do? You have a calendar? Is it like a little flip book? Like, oh, what do I have to do today? Oh, nothing. That would be me. Oh, man, bummer. It's spring break and I got nothing to do. Huh? See, yeah, that's cool. I'm so bad at that. Like,
I wish I could do it.
You wish? See, me too. That's why I try to do it, because I see the benefit of it. Like, especially when you're trying to lead people, when you have something written down that has a plan on it, it makes things so much better. But it's not my natural instinct. Not my instinctual gift. So with this gift, if the gift of helps is the person grabbing the paper towel and cleaning up the hot cocoa or grabbing a tissue box and giving it to someone who's crying and having a hard day, then the gift of administration is the one who made sure that paper towel was where it needed to be when it was there, or made sure that the orders of tissue boxes were up to date so that you, with the gift of helps, were able to give someone tissue when they needed it. So it works together in a really cool way. Like, you see how you kind of get what Paul talks about, the motion of an arm? So someone with administrations, the shoulder or the elbow, who, you know, ordered the paper towel, put the paper towel where it needs to be, then someone with the gift of helps moved that hand to grab it and then, you know, put it into action. It's really cool, because without administration right here, the hand would just be nothing. They wouldn't be able to, we'd be little T-Rexes rolling around like this, couldn't do anything. And so that's what Paul says when he gives that illustration of the body, which we've looked at a lot already. We've covered it pretty well, so you guys understand it. When Paul talks about the body, he means that even those parts that are backstage, that show up early and you don't even see throughout the whole service, those parts are just as important as the Bible teacher, just as important as the worship leader, just as important as the guy who does the lights and listens to the headphones like this, just as important as the greeter, just as important as the people who clean the carpets before you got there. All of those are needed in the body of Christ, and all of those are gifts given to the church, given to the Christians, so that we can serve one another and function the way that God designed the body to function. So, as we come to a close, what I want to do is sort of just camp on the last verse of chapter 12. Paul says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." And to us, this can seem kind of funny because Paul's the one who said, like, you know, don't be selfish, don't covet, don't be jealous. But then after explaining the gifts, he's all, but make sure you get the best gifts because the best ones are the best. But you have to kind of break down what he's saying. When he says the best gifts, what he means is not the coolest gift. So not the ability to heal people, maybe, but not just so you're cool. Not the ability to move mountains, to work miracles, just so that you look cool and stuff. But when he says earnestly desire the best gifts, he means earnestly, passionately pray for and seek after the gifts that are going to help the people around you the most. So I know that as the leader of junior high, the gift of administrations will really kind of make or break this ministry. Like, if that shoulder is not in place, like on time to open the doors so that people can actually come in, and on time with the paper towels so that it can be cleaned up and having enough cups and all of that, that this ministry won't flow as smooth as it can. So that's a gift that I earnestly desire, that I pray for, so that this ministry can run a little bit more smooth. So Paul's saying when he says desire the best gifts, he means pray for and seek after the gifts that are going to help the people around you the most. So we need to be, as Christians, looking and saying, what does the church around me need? What do the people around me need? Is it wisdom? Do they need someone who can say, yeah, that's really confusing, but here's what God would say in that situation? Or is it helps, the ability to look at people that are having a hard time and then help them out, be what they need, meet their need, whether it's emotional or mental or physical? Paul's saying that as Christians, we need to be aware of the needs that the Christians, the un-Christians, the people who aren't saved, the needs that they have, and then desire the gifts that are going to meet those needs. To pray and seek after the Lord and say, Lord, I pray that you would give me the gift of helps so that I can really be beneficial to the people around me. I pray that you would give me the gift of wisdom so that I can speak godly wisdom into situations that are way above my comprehension. And this is, I think, a really cool thing that God has given us, that we can look and desire the gifts that are going to benefit the people around us the most. Then he closes out the whole chapter saying, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And what Paul is saying here, he's talking about that more excellent way is a fundamental ingredient that is necessary in each and every one of these gifts that we've looked at. So we've looked at 13 gifts, I think. And Paul's saying, there is one ingredient that if you do not have this ingredient, if you don't have the sugar to make these cookies, they are going to be nasty. If you don't have this ingredient in your spiritual gifts, it ain't going to bake. It's not going to taste really good. It's not going to be what God designed it to be, as excellent as it can be. And that ingredient is, does anybody know? Have a guess? A swing at it? No, close though. Usually we say like faith. No. That was a little colder. Huh? Don't say it? Okay. I'll be here all day. Just kidding. You'll get it. An important ingredient for every spiritual gift, every single one, you need this for it to be what? Huh? No. Close. Faith was closest. Charisma? Na charisma? No. No. Behold I show. I mean, if you look at chapter 3 or 13, you'll know right away. Sword drill, I think, cuz yeah, it, I think it opened. Love. Yes, love is the ingredient. So, I think next week we're going to spend, it might be one, maybe a two-part series, looking at the greatest, most fundamental ingredient of all these spiritual gifts, which is love. And it's not, you know, a couple months ago, we looked at romantic love. This is not that. This is the love that Jesus has for us that we are supposed to display to everyone. And it's really, when we grasp love, it should change our lives. It should wreck who we are as human beings and transform us on like a multiple times a day basis. So that's a little spoiler for next week. We're going to start looking at love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for these spiritual gifts that you've given us. It's such an awesome privilege to be used by you, to be filled with your Spirit, and then to display these wonders, to be able to give people advice that is beyond our own understanding, to be able to help people that we see in need when that's really not what we do on our own, to be able to meet the needs of the church in the way that you've gifted us, it's a privilege, Lord. So help us to, as Paul wrote, to desire, to pray for, to seek after, to grow in the best gifts, the gifts that are going to help the people around us most. And we pray that you would give us the gifts that are going to help the people around us the most and that are going to honor you the most. We love you so much. As we take on this week, we pray that you would go before us, bless our spring breaks, and I pray for everybody else who is still in school that you would just fill them with your Spirit and be in everything they say and do at school, and also for the spring breakers, everything they say and do at home and on vacation and holiday, whatever they'll be doing. We love you so much, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.